This is the White Album Listening Party, about a dozen Beatle fans and musicians hanging out in our virtual basement, re-experiencing the Beatles' 1968 collection of songs. I'm Paul Ingles. Side four starts with Revolution Number One, which was unusual because all of us had heard Revolution, a raucous version of this same song, released as a single some months before.
You say you want a revolution, well, you know, we all want to change the world.
And then there's this sort of loping version of it on this record. Let's talk about Revolution Number One on its own first, Steve.
Revolution was John, and at this time, the drugs and Eastern mysticism, certainly for John, was disappearing, and what was coming in its place was like political revolution. He'd always been attracted to left-wing politics, and left-wing activists had always been interested in John. So he'd met with people like Tariq Ali and different people involved in left-wing magazines in the UK. And people like that would try and see that if they could get money from him or sponsorship from John. It's really a song to those people. He's saying, yeah, you know, I've got the same ideals as you. You know, I'd like to change the world, wouldn't we all? But I don't really believe in revolution that sheds blood, you know. The kind of revolution that I'm interested in starts within, you know, it starts within your mind, your consciousness. So the song disappointed these left-wing people because they thought he was... you know, he's really not joining them in the way that they wanted him to join them, and that they didn't really care to be told, you know, you got to change your head, you got to change your mind instead.
Many Beatle fans like some of one version and some of the other version.
I remember when I first heard Revolution 1, it would have been in that Beatles class, and I had never heard this other one, which turns out was the original. So I really liked it quite a bit when I was in school and I heard it. It was just a completely different treatment of the song.
We kind of halfway commissioned Douglas Grant in Tucson to pull a George Martin of his own and try to blend these two together. Douglas, what else did you learn about these songs as you worked so closely with both of them?
Listening to the single and working with it for a while, I realized that it was just one of the shoddiest productions that I think the Beatles ever released. It's got some real annoying edits in it. Technically, it's pretty rough. But I think that it's an extremely forceful song and recording in spite of itself. Definitely a strong message from John Lennon.
Well, just for fun, let's listen to this third version then, put together by Douglas Grant.
Okay. Evolution, well, you know,
What did you guys think of that?
That was the two blended together?
Yeah, kind of a fun stunt.
Well, between the two, the first one, you know, when you're young, the single just kicked your ass. It was raucous. It was, you know, if you want to compare it to the song, it was like The Who. It was in your face. It was
purposefully distorted.
That was music for me back then. I need, you know, 90 miles an hour. That's why I wanted my rock and roll, you know, 24/7. When the version came out on a white album, it was like, what did they do to this? I think Lennon was calling a lot of kids in the streets bluff, where they were out there just, you know, letting the hormones fly rather than really being out there for the revolution, you know.
He's asking them, are you in or are you out?
Right.
Yeah, I heard John Lennon interviewed about that once, and it was a conscious choice for him to write those words. And he said, well, I'm not sure, you know, I'm really not sure. I'm not sure if I'm out or if I'm in, you know. Next on side four of the White Album, Honey Pie, Savoy Truffle, and Cry Baby Cry.
Yeah, Honey Pie, Savoy Truffle, Cry Baby Cry. I suppose you could say what links those songs is a certain sort of innocence. It shows the Beatles had kind of one foot in the world of novelty songs, children's songs, the music hall, I guess, because Honey Pie was almost a tribute to the kind of music that Paul's dad used to like. You know, Paul's dad played in a jazz band and grew up in the 20s and 30s, and that was the kind of music that he liked, and Paul liked it too. Savoy Truffle is a kind of a joke of George's. It's about, there used to be these boxes of chocolates called Good News, and they all had different names like Cream Tangerine and Ginger Sling and Coffee Dessert, and Savoy Truffle was one of these, one of the chocolates in this box. Cry Baby Cry, that was based on a jingle that John heard on TV. What's almost like a nursery rhyme, I guess. This was another thing that fascinated the Beatles. I mean, Yellow Submarine, in a sense, is a kind of a nursery rhyme.
Well, Cry Baby Cry from John Lennon. Anybody want to toss something in on that one?
To me, that song has such a fantastic groove. Like, the verse has this it's really swinging, the verses, and then the choruses are very straight. Again, you know, just McCartney's bass playing, particularly on the verses on that song, is just exceptional.
Savoy Truffle. I love those fat horns in this one. And it's a cliche, I know, but it's got a good beat and you can dance to it.
True.
Well, you know, the great thing is the horns are deliberately over-recorded, so they're distorted. It just gives them that great chunky rock and roll sound, those Barry Saxes. It's great.
I love Savoy Truffle. I love that George Harrison writes a song about candies and pastries and sweets. I mean, as a songwriter, I kind of regret the state of songwriting, at least on the corporate level, where it's so rigid. Whereas, you know, I mean, a song like that today, I don't even think you could get anyone to listen to it. But these guys had the leverage to put this kind of thing on an album, and it's a great song.
John Spurney, what gets you about Honey Pie?
Well, Honey Pie, again, is just another great example of George Martin's effect on this record. And, you know, Paul came in with this sort of 20s pastiche, which is great, but I think so much of it is the saxophone chart that George Martin wrote, which just sounds exactly like records of the 20s. you know, it just adds sort of an authenticity to what McCartney was doing, you know. But you also have to say that this is like where you really see how the Beatles are this kind of postmodern phenomenon where they can take any genre and any style and sort of mix it together into this new thing. Like they're not just a rock band. Like they're a rock band that can play songs that sound like, you know, 20 songs, or they can play blues songs, or they can play you know, more R&B type sounding songs or whatever, like you know, Baroque country music. You know, any genre is ripe for their use.
She was a working girl north of England way. Now she's hit the big time in the USA. And if she could only hear me, this is what I'd say. Honey pie, you are making me crazy. I'm in love, but I'm lazy. So won't you please come home? Oh, honey pie, my position is tragic. Come and show me the magic of your Hollywood song. You became a legend of the silver screen, and now the thought of meeting you makes me weak in the knee. Oh, honey pie, you are driving me frantic. Sail across the Atlantic to be where you belong. Honey pie, come back to me. Yeah. I like the light there. Ooh, I like this kind of hot kind of music. Hot kind of music. Play it to me. Play it to me, Hollywood blues. Will the wind that blew her boat across the sea So won't you please come home? Come, come back to me, honey pie. Honey pie, honey pie.
Cream tangerine, Montelimon.
kitchen, cooking breakfast for the Queen. The Queen was in the parlor, playing piano for the children of the King. Children's holiday. The Duchess of Kikori, always smiling and arriving late for tea. The Duke was having problems with a message at the local children for a
So there we have Cry Baby Cry, Savoy Truffle, and Honey Pie, McCartney, Harrison, and John Lennon.
Gosh, I barely remember those songs. It's like, you know, you get to the bottom of the bag of chips and it's all crumbs down there. It's like, what's left here?
Number nine, number nine, number nine.
Then Revolution Number Nine comes in at this point on side four. Over 8 minutes of taped sounds that John and Yoko had mixed together. Mesmerizing, disturbing. What else did any of you all feel about this one?
Revolution Number Nine was really John's idea, although Paul had also been doing these kind of cut-ups with pre-recorded tapes.
There's a little flavor of that on, like, Tomorrow Never Knows.
Yes, yeah, this was... As Tomorrow Never Knows was to Revolver, this was to the White Album. It was the track that you went, well, you know, what on earth's that? Does it really fit on a Beatles album? It was as though they'd allowed themselves a few minutes to go completely wild and experimental. So it's just it's a collage of all kinds of tapes that they'd found. One of them being the tape that had a voice going number nine, number nine, which I believe was some sort of... it was a test for like a music academy or something like that. It was like, I guess this was question number nine.
Revolution Number Nine, one of the things that is really incredible about that song is that when you think of the White Album, I think it's one of the first songs that comes to mind.
I'm not sure that we can call Revolution Number Nine a song.
Well, it's a piece of music.
But I don't think it's a song.
It's a sound composition. That's what I was saying.
I think I pretty much listened to it one time, the first time, and never bothered to listen to it again.
To me, Revolution Number Nine lets me know what it is like to be on an acid trip. And I don't necessarily want to know what that's like.
Number nine?
Suze?
Yeah, it reminds me of Yoko's influence on him. I think as an avant-garde artist, it helped him feel, I don't know, maybe he was braver or something to put together music that was like art.
Part of the enjoyment that I got from that collage is trying to pick out the little bits that are kind of buried. Like if you just listen to one channel or the other, or you drop the middle out and you can hear some things that you can't hear otherwise. And also to try to identify, there's clearly some classical music in there. A lot of it's run backwards in loops. The piano bit in the beginning is Schumann. That's played backwards. And I have to give a tip of my hat to my mother, who helped to identify some of those pieces. And the shortwave radio and all kinds of stuff.
I enjoyed it because you always kind of looked for things, you know, and the emergence of Yoko on tape, I assume, and some of the female voices and the, you know, the hold that line and the sports references and just the little things you kind of look forward to in 8 minutes of this cacophony.
With the situation,
they are standing still.
Upon the telegraph.
Number nine.
Number nine was actually a favourite number of John's. You know, I think he was born on October the 9th, and he lived at number nine in a street in Liverpool. And nine seemed to crop up quite frequently in his life, and he attached some kind of mystical importance to the number nine.
It's just a statement of musical freedom, getting incredibly creative and just opening up those portals in the brain and putting it out there and letting consumers hate it or love it. I'm just really glad that it's on there. I remember hearing it for the first time in that Beatles class that I had in college, and I just thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. And this was in the 90s, you know.
Take this, brother. May it serve you well.
It kind of is the centerpiece of what to me the record is all about, which is this crazy sort of quilt of different genres and ideas and approaches.
If you become naked.
Revolution number 9 ends, and then slowly an orchestra builds up from beneath, and the Beatles are about to say goodnight. Steve Turner, what about this album closer?
Goodnight is a very sentimental-sounding, schmaltzy song written by John. Revolution number 9 and Goodnight are probably the two most un-Beatles-sounding tracks on the album. And Ringo sang it. You see, John did write sentimental songs he wrote Beautiful Boy for Sean, so he wasn't beyond writing that sort of thing. And it sounds slightly like True Love, the Cole Porter song, which was in the musical High Society, sung by Bing Crosby.
I think of it as being the perfect end for the album because it's an exhausting journey in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yes.
We've all been through so much, and now let's just take a little nap,
Good night, everybody.
It's a very cinematic album.
Meaning lots of characters and lots of scenes and lots of...
Absolutely.
Well, it does have a cinematic quality to it, I agree.
Yeah. Well, there's a quote in one of my books here. John Lennon gave it to George Martin to orchestrate and said, just make it Hollywood. I know it's schmaltzy. Go for it.
It's like the end credits to an acid trip to me. And they let Ringo sing it.
I liked that. I like that. I mean, I don't know if I really knew about the the sort of sweetness that I associate with Ringo Starr then, I think I just sort of felt it. I still get a little sentimental hearing it. You know, obviously it pulls at the heartstrings because that's what those kind of Hollywood strings are meant to do, but it gets me. Since we refer to this track as the one to roll credits over, I'll do that for our program now. I want to thank my guests at KUNM in Albuquerque, Scott McNichol, Luciano Urbano, Travis Parkin, Suzanne Kreider, and Rob Martinez. Also thanks to John Spurney, Christy Krueger, Douglas Grant, David Gans, and Beatle author Steve Turner. Also thank you to John Oswick. Our engineer is Roman Garcia. This program is not for sale, but can be heard again online at the Public Radio Exchange, where you can listen to and review all kinds of public radio content at prx.org. That's prx.org. Also look for it at the nonprofit music site coolstreams.org. That's coolstreams.org. I'm Paul Ingles. You can check out links to other reporting and programs I've done on the Beatles and other artists online at my website, paulingles.com. That's paulingles.com. Thanks for being with us for the White Album Listening Party. Sleep tight.